Okay, so I swore that I would never talk about this, that I was going to take this to my grave. And I have come to a different understanding about this situation, and I am ready to talk about it. And that is the situation that happened to me while I was a nurse anesthesia student at a university in Durham, North Carolina. A very prestigious one. And if you don't know the situation, if this is your first time listening to Club Clinical, welcome. It's a good one. But if you want to know what I'm talking about, go back to my previous podcast episode that was recorded back in 2020 when the world shut down. And I decided to tell my story about a time that I was racially profiled at a university after a letter was written making accusations about me. And it completely just took my world, crushed it, flipped it upside down, all of the things, to a point where I was paralyzed. I was anxiety ridden, completely like just scared to even go to school. And the allegation was about me doing drugs, someone saying that they overheard me on the beach doing drugs, and they wrote a letter to my school from an anonymous name. And my school took it as truth. Had me escorted to take a drug test, removed me from clinical, all because someone sent a letter in. They never found out who this person was, never even dared to get into contact with them. I was again removed from school, and I never found out who did it. I tried to get the metadata from the email, but of course they had deleted this email. And because of these actions, because I was ambushed, and because I would, just walked into this room not knowing what's going to happen to me. My life was kind of just flipped upside down because I was thinking about my Air Force career at the time, a scholarship that I'd gotten from the Air Force, and how that was paying for an expensive tuition and my nursing license, and who would do something like this. And it was just a whirlwind. And so here we are now, a few years later, and I'm ready to fucking talk about it because it's juicy and it's good. So here goes nothing. I have always been a proponent of plant medicine. It has changed my life completely. In fact, I now take nurses on retreats to partake in plant medicine ceremonies, to explore it, to use it to heal, as I have for a very, very long time. But back in those times, while I was still in CRNA school, that was something that I kept and held very, very close to me and shared with only a few close people. And I still don't know to this day who the fuck wrote this letter. I think it was somebody that was close to me because how else would you be able to write this letter talking about where I went to school and what clinical assignment I was on? But whatever. I've let that fucking go. But the truth is that what modern day people call as drugs and, vilify and say whatever they want about them, those drugs actually saved my life. And I've been so afraid for so long to talk about it, to say, actually, yeah, I was partaking in that and it helped me. It changed my life. It helped me step outside of depression, anxiety. It helped me to just, be a person that was excited to show up every day. And I've been afraid to say that. And I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid for a lot of reasons. One, because I have decided to choose faith over fear. But two, I fucking work for myself. I don't need a job or a university or the military or anybody to co-sign me. I don't care what people think about me. I am free. I'm living a very free life, mainly because of the decisions I've chosen, the investments I've made. I'm able to have that privilege to say, I don't care anymore. You can say what you want. You can say I do drugs. You can say whatever. I don't give a shit. Because those drugs, like I said, saved my life. And I want more nurses to do the drugs and help them heal their lives. So there, I fucking said it. So again, welcome to Club Clinical. I don't know exactly what we will be talking about on Club Clinical and when we will be talking about it. But just again, if you're new here to Club Clinical, let me tell you where Club Clinical started. It started with me on the way to clinical. I would have a grand time. I would have a basically like a party in my car driving to clinical, driving to class, and I just started calling it Club Clinical. You know, alliteration is my best friend. And I would tag the time. This is like years ago, and it started catching on. People would put the music that they were playing and tag Club Clinical. I even have like an Instagram page for it. The shit's trademarked, which is also why I'm still using this name. But that was the origin story of Club Clinical. And I started a podcast called Club Clinical while I was in school. And after what happened to me happened, not even happened to me, after what happened, whatever transpired, after I went through that, I shut everything down. And I was like, you know what, girl, you just need to focus. Get out of this, get through this. You still need to let these motherfuckers know what they did was not cool, which I did. I'll talk about that in another episode. I met with my entire faculty and made them a beautiful presentation. Maybe I'll share it one day. And so I paused everything and now I'm back. I'm keeping the same name because, like I said, that shit's trademarked and I'm not into wasting my money. And Club Clinical really, I think, can describe all that I want to talk about here. Kind of like thinking about those clubs that you would go to. Maybe you didn't, maybe you stayed at home, but maybe when you were 18, like me, you would go to those like mega clubs in DC where there was like different floors and they played different music on different floors, like Top 40. They weren't playing country. But they would play different things, and each floor basically had its own theme. That's what Club Clinical is, okay? We are going to be talking about school. We're going to be talking about investing. We're going to be talking about money. We're going to be talking with my people, my friends. You know, hopefully I get to have some of the baddest bees in the game. I'm just joking. Like, what is a bad bee? But I want to be able to just make this our space. I have a lot of shit to say, y'all. And you guys are always talking to me on Instagram, like, ooh, Aisha, you need to start a podcast. I love everything you say. You're an inspiration. So here it is. You guys follow it, give it a thumbs up. You know, I'm trying to get some ad spots on here, so don't act brand new when I start getting advertisements on here, okay? Just skip it, fast forward it. But yeah, this is gonna be Club Clinical. We're gonna be talking about it all. And if you are here and you're going to continue listening, just keep an open mind. Just know that I am not going to be speaking to an echo chamber. I'm going to be posing questions that have come to me, things that I have been thinking, things that have opened my mind to, you know, new horizons, new things. I'm going to be talking about making more money as a form of liberation. I'm going to be maybe having my man on here, probably, because we have a lot of things to say. And no, this is not going to be that 50-50 conversation. Men pay this, women pay this. That's so dead. That's 2023. We're just going to be talking about it all. I don't know how I'm going to catalog this yet, but just know that this is going to be fire. Okay? And I'm back, bitches. Bye. Okay, so let me circle back because I don't want y'all to think that that's the last that I'm going to be talking about this situation with that school because it is not. Let me tell you how it all went down, okay? So, it was Father's Day, June 2019, I believe. No. June 2018, Father's Day. And I get this email from the then assistant program director. And she has always been super funny, okay? She treated us like we were in the military. And I can say that now because I was in the military. And she acted like we were in the military. She was very authoritative. She thought that she could say anything and that we just had to do it. She did not treat us like we were adults. It was kind of really annoying. And so she emailed me saying, "Hey, please show up at the school tomorrow. I would like to meet with you." Didn't give me any context, so I asked. And an email returned back. And I said, "Hey, what will we be meeting about?" No response. All she said was, "Please just come to the school." So I'm already thinking this is fishy. I didn't at that time tend to let things make me anxious because I just was like not about that life. And so next day comes in, rolls by, and I had this inclination to record because I never felt safe in rooms by myself with white women, just historically, and surprise, surprise, this was no different. So I turned on my voice memos to record, and they're literally still on my phone to this day. And before y'all say some shit, no, I don't record everybody. But when you're dealing with Karen terrorists, like, please just do so, okay? Protect yourself. And just look into laws in North Carolina. It's a one consent record state. So, baby, I'm good. Hit record, walk into her office. And as soon as I step through the doorway threshold, she stands up from her desk and she's like, oh, actually, we're gonna be meeting in here. She walks me down the hallway and steps into the room, and there are two women there that I've seen around the School of Nursing before. And she's like, hey, we're actually gonna be meeting with Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. And I'm like, this is weird, but okay, cool. Still not really knowing what the hell's about to go on. So I sit down and they all pause. So there's three women in there and me. And my assistant program director at the time, we'll call her Dr. Fuckler. Okay. She pulls out a piece of paper and I'm like, this is interesting. The other two women introduce themselves. We'll say Dr. A, Dr. B. Okay. Dr. B is the director of all of the doctorate nursing practice education at this school. And Dr. B is the student advocate for the entire School of Nursing. And I'm like, okay, why are y'all in here? This is weird. So Dr. Fuckler starts to read from this paper and she tilts her head and she looks at me. She's like, Aisha, we received a notification about you. And I'm not going to read this whole letter because I'm just not going to, for my own protection. And she starts reading this letter and first few paragraphs. And, immediately I asked her, so who wrote this letter? Oh, well, because of FERPA, we can't tell you. I'm not going to get into FERPA and laws because I'm not a lawyer, but Google it if you want to, FERPA. But that's what she used to tell me, that she couldn't tell me who wrote it. And she said they started reading. And in the letter, it goes, we overheard Aisha or Alicia, who is a third year student at Blank University. We overheard her on the beach and we are concerned for her patients because of drug use. I will not mention the drugs here. And she's reading and reading. So she takes out this piece of paper, looks at me, and she starts reading. And she goes, we've received a notification about you and it says that you do drugs. And I immediately was like, oh shit, really? Like, which one of my classmates, which one of my Adderall taking, wino, two glasses, no, two bottle of wine drinking classmates did this? Because what was in this letter was too close to home. Okay. They were talking about, yeah, we overheard her at this beach near this hospital. I'm a nurse at this hospital and I overheard her introduce herself. And I just felt so concerned about her patients because of her drug use. Takes breath. Okay. So I immediately am like, who wrote this letter? And Dr. Fuckler goes, oh, well, because of FERPA, FERPA. I'm not a lawyer, so y'all go look that up. Because of FERPA, we can't tell you. In my head, that's already fishy, but I'm like, okay, whatever. And as a black woman, you know, in these situations, you know, when you're being targeted, you know how that feels. So I burst out crying. I couldn't hold it. Right. Again, go listen to the previous episode. There are snippets of this meeting in that episode number two of Clip Clinical. I immediately start crying and I start telling them I am being targeted. I bet you in that letter. And I ask, can I see this letter? I bet you in that letter they say that I'm black, don't they? And she starts denying it. No, they're not. But because we care about you and because of anesthesia's increased risk of being addicted to drugs and alcohol, we want to do this to protect you. So we are removing you from clinical and you are being required to go take a drug test. And in my mind, again, I'm like, this something seems off. And I'm like, don't you have to give me 24 hours notice that I am taking a drug test? And immediately all these women's faces get bright red. And I'm like, oh shit, y'all didn't do your homework. It was in that instance that I knew that I needed to start digging some more. So I start asking them questions. I'm like, who wrote this letter? Have you called them? Don't I have a right to know who is accusing me of this? And they just start like stuttering to each other, looking at each other. At one point, Dr. Fucker gets up and, because I asked her, I said, I don't feel like you're following the rules that we have at our school, our university rules or the School of Nursing rules. And she's like, well, let me go get them. So she leaves, and for 10 minutes, I'm sitting there wiping my tears, sniffling, waiting for this Dr. Fucker, my assistant director, who's supposed to be on my side, but whatever. I'm waiting for her to come back. And I start voicing all these things like, can I read this letter? This doesn't sound, this just, it does, it was off, y'all. And again, they're denying me the ability to see this letter and read it. In my head, I'm like, okay, I'll talk about this shit later. She finally comes back and I start asking her more questions, and she just hands me the papers. And there's one particular point in time that I remember being like, oh yeah, one day I'm gonna tell this story and this part of the story so that I can let anyone who has ever been in a situation like this know that they have rights, okay? So I start reading the documentation, and it is the paperwork that you sign oftentimes, like your academic code of conduct for School of Nursing or schools in general. And I'm reading it out loud, and I'm like, it says that you have to be notified 24 hours in advance before you have to take a drug test. And I read it out loud to them, and again, beat red faces, so shocked. I'm like, yeah, ladies, I can read, and you clearly didn't. And they start stuttering. I forget what they said. I could go back and listen if I wanted to. And I'm shuffling through the paperwork again, and I'm saying, and also, and I asked out loud, I said, and also, why am I being drug tested? Because this seems like you guys re just received a notification. Like, on what grounds am I being drug tested for? And I start reading through the paper, and I remember, and I have this saved on my computer to this day, and it says that you can only be drug tested if you're being suspected of having deficiencies in clinical, or drug tested if there has been proof that you have stolen medications, or proof, right? And I'm reading this out loud, and again, beat red, crickets, looking at each other, right? And at that point, I'm like, okay, yeah, got you, bitches. But I just decide, I'm like, okay, I want a lawyer. I've watched so many movies, okay, so I asked for a lawyer. Don't you know these women said, oh, we don't have time for a lawyer. You need to go be drug tested immediately. Otherwise, you won't be able to go back to clinical, right? So I was escorted by Dr. Fuckler. I'm skipping a lot of what went down, okay, y'all. Actually, no, let me play it back. Before I was escorted to go take a drug test, I wanted to call my mom. And I was sitting in this office with these women, and I was like, I'm gonna go call my mom. And I grabbed my book bag, and they look at me and they said, oh, you can leave your book bag in here. I was like, no. I grabbed my book bag, and I was going leaving the office, and I closed the door, right? I was going to like shut it behind me. And they're like, oh, leave the door open so we can hear a conversation. I said, absolutely not. I'll leave this door open, but I will take my call in private. Like, it's like these women thought they were the fucking police. So I call my mom, and my mom, she's Caribbean, but she is also black. And I call her on the phone, and I'm like, mom, they want to take me to get drug tested. And first thing out her mouth was, well, okay, did you do it? As I'm sitting here at this point in time, I'm like, well, what does did you do it mean? What does did it mean? Because, that's neither here nor there. Mom, I just wanted to know, like, what the hell should I do? And she was like, well, just take the drug test and we'll figure it out later. So I go back to the room, hang out with my mom, and I agree to take the drug test because I'm like, I know I'm good. I'll know I'll be fine because the drugs that y'all were talking about in this letter. Anyways, we'll pause there. Will not show up on this fucking drug test, okay? So I go and I am escorted by Dr. Fuckler, tears still streaming down my face, to the basement of the hospital of this university where I have clinicals there. And she's sitting there waiting with me, trying to talk to me, blah, 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 while we're waiting. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, bitch, are you serious? And they call my name. And, Dr. Fuckler, because she had dropped me off there. She had went right up to the waiting person, the what's it called? She went up to the person that like you check in with, and she's like, "Yeah, we're here for a drug test." And she was like, "Oh, Aisha Allen." So they had signed me up already to take this drug test. This was well orchestrated, y'all. So we go sit down, and she's all talking my ear off, and I'm like, "Bitch, read the room. Do you know that you are locking me down here to take a drug test? Are you serious?" They call my name. I stand up, and she's like, "Oh, can I give you a hug? I'm gonna go back now." No. And it's like the audacity that you white women have sometimes, you Karen terrorists, it's still mind-boggling, but whatever. So I go into the room and it's a black woman in there that receives me to have me do my drug test. And she looks shocked when I walk into that door, y'all. And she's like, "What happened to you?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she just doesn't say anything and she hands me a mirror. Y'all, there is like tissue all over my face from me crying and wiping my face. This Dr. Fuckler walked me around this whole hospital with me looking a mess, y'all. And this is the same woman who, during like clinical preparation and like simulation, she was also the head of simulation. She would tell us, "Do not let your patients leave your OR looking any type of way. Do not let them leave with anything on their face. Like it's just bad habit." And here I am walking around with her looking crazy with tissue all over my face. And I, at this point, like she's the first like familial face. She was a black woman that I have seen. And I just started crying even more. And I tell her like briefly what happened. And she was like, "Man, this happens so much here. You're not the first person, black person today that this has happened to." And anyways, I pee in the cup and she gives me a hug. And, you know, I know that I'm good. But I just leave, I walk out the room, take a big breath. She had helped me clean up my face, and like I go home. And that was my experience. Okay, that was why the second episode of Club Clinical was recorded, because someone was able to write a letter to harm me. And instead of my school doing their due diligence, looking at who they had in front of them, an A plus student with no issues in clinical, instead of them looking at the actual situation, I was already presumed guilty before anything. And this whole like Claudine Gay situation with Harvard, the Harvard president who everyone says was a DEI hire and, you know, fired after 6 months. Well, they say that she resigned. She was pushed out. This whole situation reminds me of that. And I'm like finally at a place where I can talk about this situation and not feel fear, not be afraid to tell my side of the story, to tell my truth. And I want to be honest and open about these organizations and these systems that we try to scale and become the heads of and become the top of and become the presidents of. And I want to encourage especially black women to realize that we don't have to do that if we don't want to. We can find systems, we can find places, we can find jobs, we can find organizations that value us, who will protect us, who will see us for the human beings that we are, and just value us as we are. And I also wanted to record this podcast and speak my side of the story, because I know that this happens to so many people who are just swallowed up by the educational system or put in a corner to have to protect themselves, dismissed from schools. And I think it's bullshit. And again, I have the privilege now of, you know, having a lot of investments and working part time and not needing to go to work, to where I can speak my truth and be like, "Yeah, well, I was actually partaking in plant medicine so I could get through this shit, this hellhole that you guys create." And I'm at a peaceful place now, y'all. So that concludes this. That's as much as I'm going to be talking about this story, because I am moving on. I am ready to talk about more shit. I have cleansed myself and my soul. I have healed. And if you are like, "Ooh, what plant medicines are you talking about?" You need to follow me on Instagram. You need to go to my retreats, because plant medicine is the way. I have healed myself from PTSD, depression, anxiety. I stopped taking a lot of meds cold turkey because of plant medicine. And I maybe this is the first time that you are hearing about plant medicine, and maybe you're shocked that Aisha Allen is talking about plant medicine. Well, get used to it, okay? Because this is the wave. Military just put some funding toward plant medicine and, psychedelic research. And that's where we are. Okay. This is 2024, Aisha. Welcome to the new Club Clinical podcast.